Hello and welcome to episode number 408 of the Rollo and Slappy Show. Today is May 6th, 2024. I am Rollo McFlugel. With me is my co-host Slappy Jones. Show notes page for this episode will be mcflugel.com/408. So Slappy, it's obvious what we have to cover this week.
Yeah, definitely.
That rap battle that's going on.
Oh no.
Between the two rap people.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I definitely side with that first guy.
Oh, yeah. I see a bunch of stuff on Twitter being posted about it. I have no idea what's going on, except one's calling the other one a pedophile. And they're like, I guess, making songs to have the fight.
I did see something on this. Someone put two. I don't know. I was like confused as to what was going on. I did see something about this though.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know. It's happening. It's about all I'm aware of. But in other news, you know, we have to once again. Libertarianism has been disproven, and we have to give up being libertarians.
Oh, yeah.
Because someone came up with a gotcha question, scenario, hypothetical. And, you know, that means it just crumbles everything down.
Mm-hmm.
It's just funny. All these people... A lot of them, like, seemingly former libertarians. But I guess mostly just people kind of adjacent to libertarianism. I guess they think that they're... libertarianism has been around for a while. And all the stuff that's been going on in the world, like, it's not anything new in the grand scheme of things. And so when someone's like, oh, you're a libertarian, well, what if this happens? How do you manage this? It's just another example of the who will build the roads.
Yeah, and we've said it a million times too before. Like, people need those questions answered, but there's a way to ask it, and there's a way where it's like so arrogant and ignorant that it's annoying.
Well, I saw this one the other day where it was like, okay, let's say that you're the leader of a community or town or whatever, and there's a baby that's abandoned, and the only way that you can save the baby is by taxing all the people in your community like $1 a month or something. If you don't do that, then the baby dies. And are you justified in taxing to save the baby's life? And there are a bunch of libertarians that said, no, you shouldn't. That's, the end doesn't justify the means. And you know, it's unfortunate, but like, you can't steal. And they're, oh, you know, make, oh, you guys are so terrible, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay. Like, this brings us back to, remember when we were like, got into Michael Humer?
I do.
Years ago.
It was a long time ago. When did that book come out?
I don't know. I want to say like 2008, 9, 10.
In that range.
Maybe later. Actually, I'm curious. When did The Problem of Political Authority
That had to be, I'm going to guess 12.
Let's see. Yeah. Originally published 2012.
12 years ago. Wow. That was a great book.
Yeah. But like, he lays these arguments out. Because he makes these arguments sometimes. He actually has steel-manned the anti-libertarian case better than anyone I've ever seen. And then just goes to utterly demolish these arguments. Mm-hmm. And he sets up these like lifeboat scenarios like this. And his point is just like, hey, look, you know, if you are in a situation where it's set up that the only way that you can prevent some grave evil from happening, terrible thing from happening, you would be justified to commit some sort of smaller evil or aggression in order to prevent that evil under certain conditions, those conditions being if and only if that is the only way to do it. And you have, like, beyond any reasonable doubt that it's going to work out the way that you want it to. So you have to know it's going to work, and it is absolutely the only option that you have. And as soon as another option prevents itself, or, you know, it doesn't seem like it's going to really work anymore, then you really can't really justify doing it anymore. So in the case of, would it be okay to tax, you know, your citizens, the people in your community, $1 per month to save the life of the baby? Like, if you say yes, that just is, you're just saying it's okay to do that in that situation. It doesn't somehow justify, you know, this massive state or the state doing whatever you want it to. Because it's like these scenarios are explicitly set up to say, and there's no other way to do it. Which, I mean, these scenarios are just absolutely insane.
That is kind of funny. It's like, what if there was a situation where we're going to murder your whole family unless you agree to have a tax? And you're like, well, can we just not murder the family? No, that you're fighting a hypothetical.
It's like, okay. Then I guess
I'm okay with the tax. I don't know.
Libertarians aren't against taxation, I guess, after all. And it's funny because this, like,
yeah.
The way they said, like, 2% like, this
sales tax or your whole town dies, starves to death. And you're like, all right.
Well, in this specific hypothetical, taxing everyone $1 to save the baby, it's like, and some people made this point, which is the correct one. It's like, if you can't get your people to just save the life of a baby on their own, then, like, there's just way bigger problems going on. I mean, that, like, a $1 tax per month isn't really going to fix anything. But the other issue is, it's like, okay, you're the one in charge of this, and it's just like in a situation where you yourself, the one that is, you know, coordinating this tax and levying it and everything, you somehow can't just take care of the baby yourself. Which I guess is part of the hypothetical. But the other thing that everyone misses with this is that, okay, let's say you say yes, you would be justified to steal, to take a tax from everyone. That's still theft. And you owe restitution for that. So even if you say, yeah, I guess to save the life of a baby, you could take $1 from everyone for a month. You would owe those people $1 at some point. Like, you, it's still theft to tax people. It doesn't somehow make it not theft. And that's what's, like, missed on this kind of stuff, too.
It's just as stupid. Like, it doesn't, like you're saying, it doesn't tell you anything because, like you're saying, I mean, I don't even want to do this because it's so dumb, but it's like, seriously, $1 a month from everyone? Like, you could walk around with a bucket at a red light and get, like, enough money in, like, 2 days.
Yeah, I know.
Like, there's a million. It's, like, it's just a dumb.
I mean, sometimes sometimes the argumentum ad absurdum is kind absurd. Of a useful tool. But,
well, it's in useful, this case, yes, to like display the point or draw a line or say there is a line somewhere. It's just dumb.
But in this case, it doesn't even really prove the point because you can, like I said, you can still make the case that, like, well, it's still theft.
And on top of that, you have to show that the tax dollars are saving these lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone just accepts like, you know, how much money went to Ukraine? What does that help us? I mean, that's the obvious, the reductio ad absurdum the other way, but like, how does that help anybody at all?
Well, you have to understand, Slappy, we're going to use the same politicians and the same people that elected all these current politicians to just make it work in the way we want it to.
We want it to work, right. And that's the thing. Like, you know, how many people, there's just some too many, I can't believe we're even talking about this. Where are these tax dollars doing anything for anyone? You could say, yeah, there's people who rely on that monthly, what's the access card? What do they call that card? Access card, food stamps.
The EBT.
Yeah, like it's food stamps, right? And mm-hmm. you can say people rely on it. Of course they do, because we've given it to them. Like, if right. they never had it, they'd figure out a way.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like this is not a mystery. This was talked about forever. When these, I mean, Hazlitt's book was originally written in like 1947, right? Economics in One Lesson. He talks about all this stuff. It was when these programs were, you know, coming around. So this isn't a mystery. It's all waste. It's all like the tax dollars aren't going to things that are helpful. Well, what about the roads?
It is funny because when you do kind of have an argument or a debate with someone that supports the government basically doing anything, and they acknowledge that while the state doesn't really, they do a lot of bad stuff, so you're more like right-wing people, they're all the more happy to say that, like, well, the state's really, really bad right now, and Joe Biden and Obama, whoever, they do all sorts of terrible things. And then you're like, well, how's it gonna work the way you want it to? And they're like, well, I can see a way. And I was like, well, what is that way? How would you get there? And they don't really have, well, it would just, it's possible for it to work. It's possible for it to work. According to what? It's funny, that slogan that we heard ad nauseum for so long, stop living in Ancapistan in your heads. Well, what are these people doing now? It's like this stupid thing with Florida banning the lab-grown meat. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And, you know, apparently this is the other libertarian conundrum that we have to sort through. It's like, well, the lab-grown meat was basically a government intervention. And so on the one hand, libertarians should be against banning stuff. And on the other hand, libertarians are against the government doing anything. So, like, I guess it's like Schrodinger's cat, you know, what do you, oh, it's a catch 22. It's like, no, it's not. It's stupid to have a government ban on it. It's terrible. I would never eat it. I don't want to eat it. I don't think it's good for anybody, but we don't need the government to ban it. What we need to do is just have the government to lay off these markets. And then, you know, of course, people are saying stuff like, well, you ban the lab-grown meat because it might come around later on that the state's going to ban real meat. And so if you already have the lab-grown meat banned, then they can't ban the real meat because the lab-grown meat is banned already. And it's like, well, hold your breath, I guess, that they that you giving the government the precedence or the validation that they can ban stuff and pick and choose what we're allowed to have won't just be used against you later on. It's just so silly. It's like, it's this idea that, like, you can play checkers with how the government works and that you can kind of like manipulate it and dictate how it's going to work, and not that you try to manage it and it's just going to blow up in your face like every single other time that it's ever happened.
Not this time.
It's absurd. And then, right, this time it's different. And then the other funny thing about that is, like, this idea that because the government develops something, that means it can be banned. For all these, you know, conservative right wing people saying, making this argument, like, what about a lot of weapons? Should you not be allowed to have weapons that were developed by the government? Because they were developed by the government, should we put a ban on those? Like, pretty sure those people would make the argument in the other direction. So, like, what's the difference? It's just silly. It's frustrating because for the people that used to be libertarians or still identify as libertarians or whatever, and they just shut their brains off for certain things. And that they can't sort through. I mean, they're feeling some pressure in their own lives, seeing things going the way politically they don't really like, and then just getting scared. And they just cling to what's comfortable to them, and that's having a state. And it's silly. Anyway, that's all I want to talk about that, because there's something else that's perhaps more interesting, and also probably way more annoying at the same time. But at least we'll challenge our libertarian tendencies a little bit more, I think, on how we sort through it. So Roger Veer got arrested.
What has there been any more news on that?
I don't know. Not really. Yeah. He got arrested for tax evasion. Apparently he did not file a lot of his taxes or pay a lot of his taxes. And then when he left the United States, he had to pay an exit tax, I guess, that he did not pay. And when he moved out of the country, I guess it was about, was it 10 years ago?
Probably.
When was it? Hold on. In 2005. Oh, he's been gone forever. He's 45 years old. Wow. He's old. Sorry. Yeah, he moved to Japan in 2005, but yeah, so apparently he was living in Japan, moving around. I think in some of the, I don't know if he was going to the Caribbean or, yeah, I think so. But he traveled to Spain, and he ended up getting picked up there, and I guess sent to the United States or whatever for his charges. And everyone's kind of freaking out about this, especially, you know, last week we talked about the samurai things, and everyone freaking out about that and acting like, well, look, they're coming after us and they're banning custody, self-custody of Bitcoin and making mixing illegal and privacy illegal and blah, 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 blah. And meanwhile, like, you see what the charges are. And yeah, they threw a bunch of stuff out there, but like the main charges for the samurai guys was that, like, they were operating a money laundering scheme and were trying to launder money for, like, enemies of the United States, basically. And they were flaunting it. It wasn't like the government made something up. Samurai guys were explicitly making this claim. And right, wrong, or indifferent, you can disagree with money laundering being a crime, but, like, what do you expect the government to do? I mean, you poke the bear, it's going to bite you. And I think we can look at this in a similar, the Roger Veer case in a similar way, but a little bit different. Because I certainly do not think that not paying your taxes is a crime. We're just talking about how taxation is theft. No one should be in taxation for prison. Do you agree, disagree, Slappy?
So I just think if you, you know, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask. So do you think that we should be marching in the streets and clamoring for the Roger Ver to be freed?
Yeah. I don't know. Not really. But here's the thing. I don't know all the details of this case, and I don't know what the actual charges are or what the situation is. What I do think is really a shame here. Now, this guy is a longtime scammer. He comes across as a real scammer. Like, he doesn't seem like a good guy. I don't know him personally. I remember back when we were kind of going, trying to figure out Bcash versus Bitcoin 2017. I heard a lot of things he said, and it never sat well with me. Just felt dirty after listening to it, the way he argued. Maybe he's just a bad arguer. I don't know. He got in trouble with the law before. He was selling something out of his apartment, like some kind of explosives or something, right?
Yeah, fireworks.
Okay. But in this case, I mean, I don't know what the details are. Like I said, I'm sure he broke laws, but he renounced his citizenship. So I don't know. I think the tax laws are absolutely insane in the United States. If you're an American citizen and you're working overseas, you still owe U.S. income tax. It makes no sense. They're the only country in the world that does that. I think their laws are ridiculous. And so, you know, it's one thing if you are an American citizen working in the United States and not paying your taxes. I still don't think you committed a crime, but I get it that the U.S. government would go after you. But if you renounce your citizenship and move to another country and are still required to pay taxes somehow, then maybe he had businesses that were domiciled in the U.S. I don't know. I don't know what the details are.
I think that's was part of it, was that.
Okay. It just seems insane to me that you can renounce your citizenship and not live in the, I don't know if he's been back. Like, does he do speaking tours in the United States? Does he visit, or has he been gone?
I think he's been gone.
That's what I thought too. And so you renounce your citizenship and you leave and you're still on the hook for taxes somehow.
Well, it's insane. Well, it was because he owed those taxes. These are taxes that were owed before
he left.
Yeah, and renouncing his citizenship.
Still brutal, man.
Right, but it's like...
I know what you're saying.
It's stupid, it's
that
bad.
But no, it's like, you know...
He sold tons and tons and tons of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. I might be screwing this up because... When did he renounce his citizenship? Because if he moved to Japan in 2005, that was before Bitcoin.
Yeah, I don't know when he renounced his citizenship.
But I believe he had businesses that were operating in the United States. I think that's what they were getting him on.
And if you, I mean, that's just like stupid. If you think, I don't know how that works. I don't know the laws. I don't know what businesses he had and what they were doing and who was operating them. I mean, he's not a U.S. citizen, but he has U.S.-based businesses. And if his businesses aren't paying taxes, obviously you're going to have an issue.
So the Wikipedia page, Ver renounced his United States citizenship in 2014 after he became a citizen of St. Kitts and Nevis. In 2015, he was denied a visa to re-enter the United States by the U.S. Embassy in Barbados, which claimed that he had not sufficiently proven ties to the United States, ties outside of the United States that would motivate him to leave at the end of his visit, causing fears he might become an illegal immigrant. The same year, his visa was approved by the U.S. Embassy in Tokyo, and he visited the United States in 2017 to speak at a conference in Aspen, Colorado. Ver's name was public. It's also. Yeah. Okay. So he did come back to the U.S. for a little bit. Yeah, I think from what I remember reading the report or whatever that they publish when they do it, it was this businesses that he was operating I guess within the jurisdiction of the United States. So it's kind of like, well, you're doing this stuff. You might have renounced your citizenship, but like you're doing the stuff in the US. It's again, it's I'm against taxation. It's stupid, but like I pay my taxes.
Yeah, no,
not because I agree with them, but because I don't want what's happening to Veer to happen to me.
Yeah, it's a dangerous game if you want to mess with them.
And it's like, okay, if you want to play, yeah, if you want to play that game, if you want to play chicken, okay. And if you get away with it, great. But if you get bitten and you lose, like, okay, you kind of made your bed.
Yeah.
I mean, we know how the game is played. Now, on top of all of that, because even with all that, I would still, like, if that was all that was going on, you didn't pay taxes on, like, liquidating Bitcoin or something for a business operator in the U.S., I'd be saying, hey, yeah, no, he should be, I'd be out there vocally opposing this and calling for his release. But the thing about Veer is, he is a criminal by libertarian standards, not by U.S. standards. Also, just too, with his, like, when he left the United States, I think it also had something to do with his crime, his other crime that he committed, where he was like sending explosives in mail. Just like regular mail and keeping it like under his bed in his apartment. So like those are criminal activities under anyone's judgment. And I think that's kind of why he left the country. That had something to do with why he left the country. And so because I remember when it was, they were making a big deal. It's like, oh, look, he even renounced his citizenship. And it's like, yeah, because you were like in trouble here. You're like you fled to Mexico or whatever, because if you stayed here, you would have gotten totally screwed. But he, like you said earlier, he is a serial scammer. And he's responsible for a lot of the Bcash stuff and a lot of other scams in the crypto space, that has without a doubt slowed Bitcoin adoption, and resulted in more suffering for people in the world because we are not as close to having sound money as our monetary standard. And like, I remember back in 2016 and, you know, plus or minus a year or two around that time, when we were trying to figure out what was going on, there were a lot of prolific libertarians who were into Bitcoin, who went on the Bcash side,
mm-hmm.
because of Roger Ver.
Mm-hmm.
He was a huge part of it. Was that Bitcoin guy. And so a lot of people just, he made a name for himself among the libertarian circles. I remember he was like buddies with Tom Woods, and Tom Woods was like really quiet about Bitcoin.
Yeah.
If not mm-hmm. kind of supporting a little bit of the Bcash stuff.
And yeah. If I remember correctly, he like met him at a libertarian conference, was at his table, and Roger Ver is a talker, and he is, you know, probably pretty charming and can sell.
Mm-hmm. And so he, like that, Tom Woods, and not that like Tom Woods' audience is going to make or break, you know, Bitcoin, but.
Yeah, but there's a lot of libertarians who listen.
Yeah, you had the opportunity to give the people that are fighting the fight that we want to be fighting as Bitcoiners, and you just split them up. And you just lost years and years of time because of that. Not to mention just all the other people that he scammed, all the other people that that are out of money or have not adopted Bitcoin because of a lot of his actions. All of the anti-Bitcoin campaigns that he ran and the scams and everything. Like he's a fraudster, and fraud is a crime by anyone's metrics. And so he ought to be held accountable for that. And when you are that big of a criminal to the extent that he was. I think that the lines between like how I view state actors, an agent of the state, and a guy like him get really blurred. And so I see the fight between Roger Ver and the IRS or whoever arrested him kind of a similar thing as if the IRS started fighting the FBI. Like if FBI agents started going to prison because they weren't paying their taxes, I don't think any libertarian or anybody would be like, oh no, they should be freed because taxation is theft and they shouldn't have to pay taxes.
Yeah.
And then we could say, well, they're paid by tax, but whatever. Don't fight the example I just came up with the top of my head. But like no one would be like, it would be like, yeah, good. Like, yeah, screw you. You can rot in prison. Because you're a criminal. And I hope you guys just both beat the tar out of each other and focus on each other and just obliterate each other. That's how I feel about him. Unrepentant criminal. And so he might not be in prison for the right reasons, but at least he can't scam people as much in prison anymore. So that's a good thing. So it's like, the bigger picture too is, I don't know if you had anything to add on to that.
So no. Just kind of continue.
But like when you're, it's like, I put this poll on Twitter last week. I said, all right, you've got a guy who you know is a serial killer. And he gets locked up because he was operating a lemonade stand without the proper licensing. Are you going to like fight for his freedom because you shouldn't need a license to operate a lemonade stand? I don't think many people would say yes.
Right.
Like we know he's a criminal. We know he's a serial killer. We know he should be, you know, punished or something. Speaking of argument ad absurdum.
Yeah.
Was that an okay?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, sure.
But like.
And actually, I'm trying to think of a hole to poke in it. Because you wouldn't be like, well, why would he be at a lemonade stand? He's a mass murderer.
Right. Yeah. He's got a drink, too. He's got to fund his murder. He's got to fund his he's killed murder weapons.
Yeah.
But, you know, but there is, I mean, where do you draw the line on that? You know, if a guy steals a candy bar from a store and then doesn't pay his taxes and then goes to prison for 10 years, well, that doesn't seem like it's an equitable outcome. So I guess the consequence of the thing that he should not be penalized for can't outweigh the consequence that he should face for his actual crimes. I guess that's the kind of the metric or whatever, the bar that you would use. But these kinds of things between, because we can pull this back away from complaining about other people and trying to spin something positive out of it, or just like a something to learn from it, apply it to our own situations, is that, all right, we've had a bunch of crazy stuff happen so far this year in Bitcoin, and we're only in May. We have the ETFs be approved. And then I can't even remember half the stuff going on, but things like Samurai Wallet guys get arrested. Phoenix shuts down operations in the U.S. I don't know if this happened. I don't think this happened. I think this happened before 2024, but while Satoshi shut down in the U.S. Now Roger Ver is getting arrested. All this stuff that's been going on, and the price has been like going crazy, up and down, sideways, upside down, backwards. Slappy, through all of this, have you had to change any of your approach and how you live your life with like Bitcoin or anything else?
I haven't, no. No. I don't know if I should, but I haven't.
Well, and that's what I was thinking about the other day, even before the Roger Ver thing. It's that, like, if this kind of stuff that's going on is causing you to, like, panic or whatever and feel like you got to change what you're doing, you didn't have the best strategy. It's impossible to know everything that's going to happen. And so it's impossible to have a perfect strategy. But if you pick a good strategy and all this stuff is popping up and you're just kind of like, all right, I look at it, look and see what I'm doing. And all right, looks like I don't need to change anything. That means you picked a good strategy. At least to this point, you're in the right direction. And even if it's something like Phoenix shutting down in the US and you can't use the wallet in within like a month or two or a few weeks or something. Not that that was like a stupid decision that you were using Phoenix as a wallet, because it's as far as I know, it's a good wallet. I never used it, but I've heard pretty much nothing but good about it. You know, you would have to adjust for that. That's not like a huge deal breaker. That's not something major or anything. But, I mean, I run my own node. And so by taking the time to learn how to do that and set all that up, you know, I insulated myself from something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not like a harsh criticism of someone that's using Phoenix. But if that's what you're relying on as your only Lightning node or Lightning wallet, then now's the time to kind of take a step back and reconsider what your strategy is. You know, it just is, again, like I barely ever use it. I just have it just in case I need to spend money on Lightning somewhere and I can't get access to one of my nodes. I use Moon Wallet. And if that got shut down in the US, then I would have to do the same thing. But it would just be like, oh, okay, I just need to pull the money off that and still use my other wallets, which I use 99% of the time anyway. So, and then the other thing with like, okay, we're liquidating Bitcoin on a regular basis, so we owe capital gains taxes. Right. We pay the taxes, not because we like paying the taxes. We think it's justified. We think it's moral. It's because we go to prison if we don't, or we get audited, or we get problems if we don't. So you see a guy getting arrested and going to prison for not paying his taxes, even though he's a Bitcoin guy, super into Bitcoin. Like, what's going on with him doesn't really apply to me. The samurai guys, you know, I'm running join market. I use it every once in a while. I'm doing coin joins. I'm not going and giving my XPub to a centralized party for them to do mixing services for me. They got picked up for trying to be money launderers. Okay. That doesn't apply to me. I keep going. You know, the ETFs get approved. Okay. Like, I'm already on zero. I don't really have money to move anywhere else unless, you know, I actually still have an old 401k that I haven't figured out what to do with yet. I actually have tried to get it moved over to an IRA, and for some reason, I guess I gotta redo that. Ask for them to move it again. Mm. Just reminded me of that. The price shoots up and down. We're still doing our thing. Doesn't affect us. So I think that's the takeaway. You look at the stuff that's going on, and if it's rocking your world or it's making you have to change the way you do things, you know, consider making adjustments. Considering like becoming a little bit harder for your boat to be rocked. So like, are you running your own node? Well, first of all, Do you control your own private keys? Do you have self-custody? Are you exposing yourself to getting hassled by the IRS? If you want to use Bitcoin often, you want to use Lightning Network, are you running your own Lightning node? Are you running your own full node? These kinds of things. If you want to, gain some privacy in Bitcoin, and you want to do coin joins, are you running Join Market? And a lot of these things aren't necessarily the easy thing to do. I actually did download Samurai Wallet like a couple of years ago, and I opened it up and just was kind of like playing around with it. I never even sent any Bitcoin to it.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
I was just kind of scrolling around. I'm like, this is confusing. I don't understand it. And I just never bothered with it again.
Yep.
But apparently it's pretty easy to use. I was just, I guess, being an idiot. But that was the easy thing. The easy thing was to download Samurai, send them your XPub, and do mixing that way. A little bit harder thing was to set up your own instance of Join Market.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise with Lightning. You know, the harder thing to do is set up a node at your house. Run a full node and install LND or Core Lightning on top. And run your Lightning node that way. The easier thing to do is to download Phoenix. But you see what happens when you take the easy way out. It's easier for that to get messed up and taken away from you. So I think that's kind of the not silver lining, but the takeaway. To try to apply this stuff into your own life and like a cult with your pants down.
Or just listen to the Rollin Slappy Show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we actually do a pretty good job of setting people in the right direction. Like through all this stuff, we didn't have to go back. We didn't have to go, oh, guys, you can't use this anymore. You can't do that. This is bad. Don't do that anymore.
I'm obviously joking, but not really.
Yeah.
We'll kind of think through things. Don't chase all those shiny balls that come across.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I'll say about this too, because there's a lot of Bitcoiners are saying stuff like, oh, they're coming after us. They're coming after sovereignty and holding your own keys and running your own node. Everyone's a money transmitter. But like certain companies out there that are like just expanding their operations, like Strike is expanding what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you take a look at your limits on Strike nowadays?
No, I know they went up.
It's basically, at least for mine, it's like basically unlimited.
Yeah, I don't
There's
know.
There's like a $25,000, like if I transfer money from my bank to Strike, it's like a $25,000 limit every 7 days, but unlimited for wires, unlimited trading for Bitcoin, unlimited direct deposit. They even let me, make an ACH transfer and it takes.
Wire transfer, yeah. Direct deposit unlimited.
And then there's the, I'm opening up now. The Strike Instant. So Strike lets you send up to $5,000 per 7 days with pending deposits. Settled deposits are unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
So they like giving you credit. And they're expanding their operations to other countries too. And Samson Mao had a couple tweets about the Samurai thing being like, guys, calm down. This is like pretty specific to what they were doing. This is not the government coming down on everything and everyone. And Jack Mallers on it had something too, where he was just like, guys, this is like, I run a company that is a literal money transmitter. I have licenses for it. Like, I'm not worried about what's going on. They're not coming after all this like scaremongering everybody's coming up with. This is not what's going on. So Nick Grum's being annoying over here. Keeps putting his paw on my arm. So yeah. Actually, speaking of strike, I finally realized that I could use Lightning to send money back and forth. And I'm getting ready to make my monthly conversion from Bitcoin back to fiat. So let me send money to Strike instead of on-chain. Let me do it over the Lightning Network. It'd be pretty cool to have just make Lightning payments and not have to do on-chain back and forth between Strike when I do my conversions. And I tried to do the whole amount I was going to, and I kind of knew that my node just didn't have the capacity to do it anyway. Yeah. So that failed. But then I broke it up into about like half of what I needed to send, and it went through.
Nice.
Like, oh, that's pretty cool. It's a pretty big chunk of Bitcoin going through Lightning. And I have no idea. Like, Strike doesn't publish, as far as I know, doesn't publish what their nodes are. So I think they want to just have private channels that they manage themselves and not have random people connect to them. So I just was well connected enough that that went through, which is pretty cool. And I was looking on the app, and I just kind of like did a double take. I was like, wait a second. The balance in my account was showing way too much, like 2.25 times the amount I sent.
Nice.
And I was like, I double check.
Withdraw real quick, close your account.
Yeah. Well, I double checked on my node. I'm like, no, I sent the right amount, and it's Bitcoin. It's like once I there's no way for this not to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent a support ticket, and they got back. I sent it yesterday, and they reached out today, and they said, no, on our end. I gave them the reference number for the transaction on their end. And they're like, no, our records show that this is the amount that got sent in. So, like, you're good. If you have more questions or something, I would contact the wallet, the Lightning wallet provider that you used.
Hmm.
So I replied back. I'm like, I am.
That's me.
I am the Lightning wallet provider. This is my own Lightning node that I sent it from. Like, I can send you information on the actual transaction. And they're like, all right, hold on. We need to look at this. And then they sent me another message later in the day. They said, hey, we found a bug. So we're going to figure out what we're going to do to fix it.
Let you keep it all.
I'm certainly wouldn't expect that. But the point of this is saying, like, it's tempting to just, you know, take the money. And even after they said, no, it's all right. I knew it wasn't right.
Right.
And I knew when they said, no, it's correct. I was like, no, this is not correct. And so there's that temptation to be like, okay, well, if you say this is mine,
I did what I had to do.
But I like Strike, and I want them to be a profitable service. And so if you try to take advantage of their mistakes, and if this bug happened with me, there's a likelihood that this is not the only time this bug has ever or will ever happen. So I want them to plug up these holes and correct these mistakes so that they don't like lose, you know, hurt their business and their bottom line. If you're using services like this and they make a mistake like that, like, tell them about it. Because if you want them, they're not going to be able to continue to exist if they don't know.
Crediting you with more money than they have.
Yeah. Now, at the same time, if this is like a rampant thing, then it's like, well, maybe a business that can't manage that doesn't deserve to be in business, but, you know, whatever. Also, like, if they shortchanged you, you would be freaking out, demanding your money, which justifiably so. So if they came along later and said, hey, Rollo, actually, it looks like we credited you way more money than you deserved. Send that to us or else, you know, we'll press charges because you basically stole money from us. So there's that aspect of it, too. So that's it. It's my little Get on Zero update, I guess.
Cool.
So, all right. I guess we can wrap up now. How long have we been going for? Like an hour?
Almost 50 minutes.
All right. Well, I got nothing else. Hopefully we pissed off a lot of people with our episode today.
Well, we also, since we skipped the first portion of the show that I know everyone.
Yeah, Phillies rock.
Waiting for. Yeah, best record in baseball. Let's get that out of the way now in case that's not the case next week.
Just four dominated. Game sweep of the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah.
Just playing lights out baseball. It's been fun to watch. But, you know, it's kind of as we expected.
Yeah, it's nothing. This shouldn't shock anyone.
No.
But just got to make sure we mention it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So thanks for listening, and we will catch you next week.
Peace.